Daniel chapter 9. May I say at once, it has been a wonderful joy to be opening the Word of God with you. Every morning, Romans. Every night, Daniel. This is the last evening that the Bible study helps will be available. There's 8 years worth, at least, of Bible teaching material there. It's on display. It'll be there tonight. This book is still available. I think there are half a dozen copies. Study of chapter by chapter throughout the book of Acts. It's called A Study of the Book of Acts, if you're interested in studying the book of Acts. I think I'm going to do this tonight. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. It is a thrilling opportunity to give your life to doing one thing, teaching the Word of God. And writing helps for other people to use in teaching. My ministry takes me to all the continents of the globe. This has been going on once or twice a day since June 1957, average. If any of you are in the East, next summer, love to see if you could make it. 240 miles north of Manhattan, Scroon Lake. I'm going to see to it that some folders descriptive of the work next summer will be sent to the pastor of this church. They have not yet been prepared. It's only October. When they are ready, we'll see that some are sent. And if you want more detail, I teach 10 books in 10 weeks. We even tell what books are taught each week. Tells you all about it. We have 62 missionaries. You have just contributed to help make this work possible. The sun never sets on the testimony of Word of Life. We are beamed primarily at young people. In Brazil, this year, we are reaching 3,000 young people in our camp alone. In Yucatan, Mexico, we are reaching hundreds upon hundreds. We broadcast the gospel across the United States, the only youth broadcast like this in North America. We broadcast the gospel across Brazil in Portuguese every Saturday night. It costs more than $2,000 a day to run this, all to the glory of God. Some of you teenagers who are here, I'll say this for the last time this week, we have 350 on the staff alone. These are key young people who really love the Lord all over the United States. If you are interested someday in staff, we have the ranch for children, 7 to 13, 8 miles down at the end of Spoon Lake, hundreds of children every week. We have the island for teenagers and young people up to the early 20s, hundreds every week. We have the mainland for grown-ups and families, hundreds every week. Get your application in early if you're going to be a guest. We have to turn down because they didn't apply. 13,000 every summer. If you're interested, ask the pastor of this church along about January 1st if they have arrived. And I want to do this. I have made some wonderful friendships this week. Say this only once. If any of you people would like to pray for the Bible teaching ministry in which I'm engaged, if you really love the Lord, I'd be very thrilled to have you on my prayer list. About every 3 or 4 months, I get out a brief communication telling what countries I'll be in, what communities, asking God's people to pray. This is why a man can go on night after night after night after night after night, not to speak of the morning. So if you are interested, I'd love to have your name and address. Put it in this pocket, send it to my New York office, and you'll hear it next week in Illinois, following week in Pennsylvania, next week in Indiana, next 2 weeks in Texas, and on to the West Indies, and to New Jersey, on and on, California, all over the place. One thing. Teaching the Word of God. And if there's anybody in this audience who is not yet studying the Word of God. You're missing out. Get going. Make up your own procedure, but get moving. Our nation was founded on the Scriptures. Now, with that as a background, let's turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, we're back in the period of Medo-Persia. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Please glance up from your Bible. Quick review, very quick. I'm thrilled that there's so many younger people as well as older people here. Now the choir will kindly assist me. Final review of the first 8 chapters. Let's see how good our memories are. Watch, I'll say it only once. In chapter 1, Daniel is presented as a clean-cut teenager. Pure of heart. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Teenagers, never be afraid to come clean for God. Never. Moreover, God had given to this teenager the capacity to interpret and discern dreams. That's chapter 1, the presentation of Daniel. So when I ask, in what chapter do we have the presentation of Daniel? The reply, 1, and you're correct. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. The course of imperial power, ending up with the latter days which have not yet come. For the Lord Jesus Christ in power and great glory at the battle of Armageddon smites the confederated nations of the world, then sets up his kingdom. The smiting stone of Daniel chapter 2. Never forget that. Chapter 3. The three young friends of Daniel are cast into the burning fiery furnace. That is chapter 3. How can you remember that? There were three young friends. That's chapter 3. You make up your own memory system. Chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of a tree. T-R-E-E. Tree. Chapter 4. We studied that the other night. Chapter 5. Five. Fingers. Five. The fingers. Handwriting on the wall. Chapter 6. Daniel is cast into the den of lions. You're on your own there. Use your own memory system. Maybe it makes you sick to think of it. Let it go. I just made that one up. I don't like it. Now, will you kindly remember 7 and 8? And that's 2/3 of the book. We'll then have our final test of the week. Then I'll move. Number 7. In chapter 7, Daniel has a vision of these 7 of these 4 wild beasts. Daniel has his own dream of the 4 wild beasts. Remember? The lion, the bear, the leopard, and the composite beast. That's chapter 7. 4 beasts. 7. Chapter 8. The ram versus the heathen. Albedo Greece. Now let's what do you say? Who's really helping me now? In the prophecy of Daniel is the young man presented everybody. Perfect so far. In what chapter does Nebuchadnezzar dream about a great image? Great. Coincidence. Now don't be deceived. In what chapter do you have the fingers writing on the wall? In what chapter does Nebuchadnezzar have a great dream of a tree? T-R-E-E. The more spelling will help you. All right. In what chapter do you have the three friends of Daniel in the burning fiery furnace? Now you remember. In what chapter, this is my last question, in what chapter do you have the record of the he-goat versus the ram? Everybody. Now we're ready for nine. There are only four more. In the printed notes on Daniel, I go into considerable detail. Tonight, I'm going to concentrate on two individuals, and that's it. You'll quickly see what is meant. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth, he told his disciples, speaking of coming events with particular reference to the last days, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." Tonight, we're going to read, and by the grace of God, we're going to understand. Two individuals primarily are the main theme of the last four chapters of Daniel. The first is Daniel himself. Before we bid him farewell this week, I want to point out to you one or two things about the prophet Daniel. We'll take a few minutes, then we'll study the other individual and thus bring our class to a close. Will you please turn in your Bible now to chapter 9, verse 23. Chapter 9, verse 23. The angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel. "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee." Get your pencil, please, and underline these next words. "For thou art greatly beloved." Thou art greatly beloved. Daniel, God loves you greatly. 9:23. Please turn to chapter 10, verse 11, with your pencil ready. "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Chapter 10, verse 11. Will you kindly look up from your Bible? "The testimony of Almighty God concerning this man Daniel is, you're a man greatly beloved of the Father." Wouldn't you love to have God say that about you? Oh, man greatly beloved of God. What if you are thrown into a den of lions? You're greatly beloved of God. What a wonderful testimony to the heroism, to the virtue, to the integrity, to the holiness of this man Daniel. If there's any man in this audience who's been fooling around with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, consider Daniel a man greatly beloved to God. He purposed in his heart as a teenager that he would not defile himself with the king's dainty, a man greatly beloved. But shall I tell you one or two other reasons why he was greatly beloved? Turn back to chapter 9 now, at the beginning. Now watch carefully and be prepared to think. Daniel 9:2. "In the first year of his reign," now watch every word, "I, Daniel," chapter 9, verse 2, "understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." Please look up the door. Now understand this. One day, Daniel was reading and guessed what he was reading. The book of the prophecy of Jeremiah. Daniel was reading in the 6th century before Christ. He was reading in the book of the prophecy of Jeremiah, which had been written considerably before. And in the book of Jeremiah, if you look in your Old Testament, he discovered one or two passages which declared that the captivity of the Jews in Babylon would last 70 years. In other words, Daniel was studying prophecy. He was studying the prophecy of the prophet Jeremiah, telling what would happen in connection with the captivity of the Jews. It would last 70 years. Now I wonder where he was reading in Jeremiah. Don't lose your place in Daniel, but turn to Jeremiah, please. Chapter 29. Genesis, Exodus. Have you had a good time? Leviticus, keep on. Little more rapidly. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, 29, verse 10. When Jeremiah wrote this, there were no chapter divisions. There were no verse divisions. 29, 10. Now watch. This is Jeremiah writing. Lord, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place, back to Jerusalem. Now understand this. Back, please, to Daniel chapter 9. One day I was studying prophecy. Yes, Daniel was a student of prophecy. He wasn't studying the book of Revelation. It hadn't been written. He wasn't even studying all of Daniel. The chapter's still to come. He was studying a book which was already written, which had certain prophetic themes, namely Jeremiah. Now listen carefully. 70 years. He quickly did some arithmetic. I was captured when I was a teenager, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Then we had the whole reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Then Nebuchadnezzar died. And his daughter married the general, Nabonidus. They're out of the way. Time gone by. His grandson, Belshazzar, succeeded to the throne. All those years went by. In that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. A little arithmetic. Add up the period of Nebuchadnezzar, Nabonidus, and Belshazzar. Time is going by. Jeremiah said 70 years. Things may be going to happen pretty soon. He was a student of prophecy. And do you know what the effect of his study of prophecy was? I will now tell you. In the next verse, verse 3. And I set my face under the Lord God to speak my prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Will you please look up to your Bible? Do you see the parallel? He was studying prophecy. A time period. A time limit. 70 years. It was just around the corner. What was the effect? It drove him to his knees. He was a man greatly beloved because he was a student of the Word of God, and his study of the Word of God was not simply a formal academic exercise. It drove him to his knees in confession and expectation. Why do you think we had a prophetic conference here every night this week? You and I who know the Word of God believe that at any moment, as our beloved brother the doctor prayed, at any moment, the Lord Jesus Christ might return to receive us unto himself. There is nothing which must still be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus comes. He might come before this hand of mine is lowered. Somewhere an evangelist will be giving an invitation. He'll be just ready to do it again. When all of a sudden that's it, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Daniel read the signs of the time. He fell on his knees before God, and he confessed his sin and prayed. You really believe God's word,
Do you really believe that at any moment the Lord Jesus may return? The effect would be on all of us to keep us in a spirit of prayer. If any unconfessed sin in our soul, for God's sake, let's confess it and put it under the blood and be forgiven and restored, even as David said, He restored my soul and be ready for His coming. Daniel was a man greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. Walk in your God. No unconfessed sin in his soul.
For some reason he was such a good man, Paul. He was in the Word. He was in the Word. He was in the Word. He was a man of prayer
3 times a day, chapter 6, verse 10. 3 times a day with his open window open to Jerusalem on his knees praying. A man of prayer, a man in the Word, a man of prayer, a man in the Word. So was Daniel greatly beloved.
Spend time in the Word every day? Did you stand up and tell somebody what the epistle of the book in the Romans teaches? Did you read it 25 times in the last 25 years? Is there anybody in this audience who has no systematic method of Bible study? Get going. Make up one. But get into the Word.
My Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
By taking to the law, the Word, the testimony.
Amen. Oh, man, pray to the Lord. I'm tempted to pronounce the benediction. Not quite. Now, when Daniel did pray, beautiful prayer, magnificent prayer. The angel of God. I'm going to save time. If you're to understand the simple thrust of Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 11 and Daniel chapter 12, you've got to know something about this second individual. I'm speaking about two individuals tonight. The first is Daniel himself, now the second. Jesus spoke about him. Jesus called him upon the nation of desolation, upon the nation that is character, desolation that is conduct. The Apostle Paul called him a man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Jesus said he would stand in the holy place. Paul says he will be seated in the temple of God. He will be seated, he will stand. He will take up his spiritual residence, his religious residence, if you will, blaspheming the name of God and desecrating the temple. Where does Paul say this?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Don't let me take your time. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul tells us all about it.
Now what we want to know tonight is this. When the Lord Jesus said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet and in the holy place,
whoso readeth, let him understand, Matthew 24:15, what did Jesus mean exactly? The shadow of this blasphemous individual, all the 4 last pages of the book of the prophet. Now let's find out what we can of it.
Before we turn to chapter 9 and chapter 11, for I shall concentrate only on those two, knowing that the printed quotes take you to the other, I'll concentrate on only two.
The shadow of this man falls upon us. Before we approach this, we've got to have a formal refresher. You've got to have a brief course in what we call prophetic hermeneutics.
Say that again.
Hermeneutics.
How do you spell it?
H-E-R,
and then it's every man for himself.
Hermeneutics. The science of biblical interpretation.
If you've never studied biblical prophecy, this is very careful.
open up many passages of Scripture to you. Frequently,
when an Old Testament prophet is going to describe something which will take place in the latter days,
still in the future now,
he singles out some individual who would appear upon the stage of history shortly after his time. He describes that individual and then uses him as a springboard on which he overleaps the centuries to the last day.
He singles out an individual who would have characteristics of the individuals yet to come, and uses him as a type or as an illustration of the individual he will ultimately describe. Or he singles out an event which is proximate, which will soon occur, perhaps in 2 or 3 centuries. He uses that as a springboard, and on the basis of that, because of the parallelism, he overleaps the century. This is exactly what Daniel does. He is going to tell us now about the abomination of desolation, the man of sin, the lawless one, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted and called himself of a God. You called him Antichrist, which means opposed to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a Prince of Peace. He is a ruthless dictator. That's not ego, I tell, not I ask. A dictator is one who tells, one who commands. A cunning world dictator. You find about him in these chapters. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is only 2 things. 2 things, that's all. First, what can we learn in the book of the Daniel about the career of this man who may be living in 1961 A.D.? Maybe living now. He will not show his hand until the true church is gone. Every blood-bought child of God born up to meet the Savior, then here upon the stage of human culture from which the true church has been removed, Antichrist will show himself for exactly what he is, and a great tribulation will strike. 2 things about him. What can we learn from Daniel concerning his career, and secondly, concerning his destiny? That's all we have time for. Now, will you please turn to chapter 11? In chapter 11, when you get to it, please, verse 41. In chapter 11, the prophet Daniel uses his system of hermeneutics. He describes at great length, now listen very carefully, I can say it only once. In chapter 11, Daniel, writing in the 6th century B.C., describes a horrible ruler of Syria who would appear on the stage of human history in the 2nd century B.C. The name of this ruler, Antiochus, his title, Epiphanes, is the Greek, and would mean the Shining One. An awful character who would appear just a few centuries after Daniel actually appeared historically in the 2nd century B.C., Antiochus Epiphanes. A perfect type of Antichrist one. Because this man, Antiochus, would rule the Jews when he arrived. He would persecute the Jews. He would desecrate the holy altar in Jerusalem. He actually sacrificed a star upon the holy altar of the Hebrew temple. And thus he would be a perfect illustration of Antichrist one. In chapter 11, then by a gradual transition on the basis of prophetic hermeneutics, Daniel leads us across the centuries to the individual he has had in mind all the time, Antichrist, of whom Antiochus is a type. And
beginning just before verse 41 of chapter 11, you have a description of something of the career of this individual Antichrist. Now look up from your Bible for just a moment. On the blackboard, I have a very little design. You cannot see this beyond the third pew. I know. Nevertheless, this is what it represents. As in the choir, you cannot see it at all. That's their great vision in reverse. B stands for Babylon. MP for Medo-Persia. G for Greece and R for Rome. Here's the cross. Christ Jesus died during the Roman period. Then all that little curly line, that's the New Testament church age. Then the arrow pointing up, that's the rapture, which may occur at any time. And then here on earth, the double line, when Antichrist will be revealed. Then that final arrow coming down, that's the fighting throw of Daniel chapter 2 for the battle of Armageddon. Now against that background, let's read about the career of this man.
11:41. We have already discovered from Daniel chapter 7 that out from the tin horn of Daniel chapter 7, out from those tin horns, which parallel the tin toes of chapter 2, out from the area of ancient Rome, where there is a federation of nations, where the stone smites, out from that area, another horn, a little horn, will emerge, Antichrist. This is presumably in Western Europe, where NATO is today. All right. Now, we've got into the background, 1141. He shall enter also into the glorious land, that's Palestine. And many countries shall be overthrown. Verse 21. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the country, and the land of Egypt shall not be changed. Verse 44. But tidings out of the east. If I were you, I would put a circle around that word east. That means east of Palestine. And out of the north. Put a circle around that word north. 194 of the Bible. Put your circle around it. Verse 44. Now cover it. Therefore he shall go forth in great fury to destroy and utterly to make the way many. Verse 45. Now watch. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas, that's the Dead Sea on the east and the Mediterranean on the west, between the seas in the glorious holy mountain at Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Read that up from your Bible. We didn't learn so very much from that, but we learned a lot. After the true church is born, every blood-born child of God caught up to be with the Savior forever. After the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit of God is removed from the apostate culture that's here on earth. After that, Antichrist emerging in accordance with the terms of Daniel chapter 7, a little horn out from among the other horns, presumably from the west. He shall enter the glorious Holy Land, Palestine. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace in the glorious holy mountain between the seas. He will set up a headquarters in Jerusalem between the Dead Sea on the east and the Mediterranean on the west. How what? He will make a deal. That's the word we Americans use. He will make a deal with Israel back in the land, possibly to restore her ancient temple and its worship. Do not lose your faith in Daniel chapter 11, but will you please turn to Daniel chapter 9. Here he is in verse 26. Daniel 9:26. Look at the fourth line. Daniel 9:26. Take your pencil. Underline the word, the prince that shall come. That's Antichrist. Daniel 9:26. About the fourth line down. The prince that shall come. Underline it. That's Antichrist. Now speaking of him,
verse 27. I'm not going to spend 3 hours on this. Handle it quickly. Verse 27, watch. And he, Antichrist, the prince that shall come, 9:27, shall confirm the covenant, you call it a seal, shall confirm the covenant with many people and authority for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall sacrifice the oblation of seed for the overspreading of abomination. He shall make it desolate. Abomination desolate. Abomination desolate. And he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet when you see the book of the Bible. And please be willing to think.
Gotta think now.
He shall confirm a covenant with a majority,
meaning Israel back in the land,
for a period in the Hebrew, it simply says, the period of Zephon.
The King James translation, 1611 A.D., King James was the son of Mary Stuart, stopped keeping around. In 1611, King James Version, they put down the word week. But in the Hebrew, it simply says 7. Doesn't say whether it's 7 days, 7 minutes, 7 hours, 7 weeks, 7 months, 7 years. We happen to know what it meant is 7 years. I'll prove this in a minute. Just take it on my word. I'll prove it in a minute. If you make a statement like that, you got to prove it. Prove it.
You make a 7-year deal with the majority of Israel back in the land.
Maybe to help them rebuild their temple, reestablish their worship, some kind of a deal, maybe to protect them from the Arabs, they have to be fighting with them.
Exactly. You make a deal.
Now think carefully.
A 7-year treaty. But in the midst of that 7 years,
now will you please think?
7 years. In the midst of it, you break it.
Then the abomination of the nation will be revealed as much
in the midst of 7 years. Please, everybody, think.
In the midst.
But it's halfway through. 7 years divided by 3.5 years. After 3.5 years, you'll break the covenant. In the midst of the week, in the midst of the 7 years, you'll break the covenant. 3.5 years. Now, please, think carefully. 3.5 years. How many months is that?
Go a little quiet, arithmetic, will you? Take off 10 or 15 minutes.
3.5 years. How many months is that?
Go a little quiet, arithmetic, will you? Take off 10 or 15 minutes.
3.5 years. How many months?
1 year, we get 12 months.
2 years, 24 months.
3 years, 36 months.
Got it. Got it. 3.5 years, how many months, everybody? All right, now hold on to that number. 42. Now listen carefully. Watch now. Here is his career. He enters the glorious Holy Land. He plants the tabernacles in his palace in the glorious Holy Mount between the seas. He makes a deal with the majority back in the land, a 7-year deal, 7 years. But in the midst of that, i.e., after 3.5 years, i.e., after 42 months, he crashes it. And a great tribulation touches this world as never known in the morning.
Say, Mr. Mason, I buy this for a week. Now, in the Hebrew, it says 7. It can mean anything that has been set. Time period. Then what right have you got to say 7 years? Now listen carefully if you never knew this before. Don't forget what's coming up. In the midst of the week, Daniel 9:27, he'll smash it. That is, after 3.5 years, after 42 months.
He'll spend 42 months. Now, if somewhere in the Bible we can read about 42 months in this context, then we know that our interpretation of the seven as referring to years is correct.
Don't lose your place in that day. Turn to the book of the Revelation, everybody. Aren't you glad you're studying Revelation at this church? Every week, you're studying.
This is not time to find Revelation. Matthew.
Turn, please, to Revelation chapter 11. Speaking of this period, watch carefully. Sherlock Holmes. Verse 2. Speaking of the same period.
But the court which is without the temple, Revelation 11, 2. Leave out and make the north. It is given unto the Gentiles. Now watch. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot. And two. One.
Turn, please, chapter 13, quickly. Speaking of Antichrist. Verse 5.
And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue.
You want to know what he's like? Look at the next word, verse 6.
And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven.
Will you please look up in the Bible? We're moving now. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, entering Palestine through the open window of the west, planting the tabernacle in his palace to go between the sea, entering into the covenant with Israel back in the land, presumably to protect them. After 3.5 years, i.e. 43 months, he breaks his covenant, reveals himself as the abomination of desolation in the time of Jacob's trouble. Yet, all of a sudden, hiding out of the heat and out of the cold, troubled. Then shall he go forth with glory. Which is this? Back to chapter 11, please. What's that? Chapter 11. We're simply reading and trying to understand. 11:44. But tidings out of the east, 11:44. And out of the north, that is, shall glory. Therefore he shall go forth with great glory, destroy and utterly to make away many. Will you please look up from your Bible? Look. Tidings from out of the east and tidings from out of the north. North of what? North of Palestine.
What north of Palestine? Russia and her satellites.
I would like to know what this is.
What do you think we find out?
Don't lose your place in Daniel. Turn to the book next door. Just before. Don't lose your place. Leave a finger there. Ezekiel 38. Handle this quickly. Ezekiel 38. Watch the north now. Watch it carefully. You see, if you haven't recently studied it, listen carefully. This is very exciting. Ezekiel 38, verse 14.
Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, God bless the Lord God.
In that day, when my people of Israel dwell in safety,
thou shalt not know it, referring to the nations to the north.
Shall I go? Keep reading.
Verse 15.
And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north part. Now, with many people with me, all of them fighting upon forces of great company and a mighty army, verse 16, and thou shalt come up against thy people of Israel as a cloud that cover the land. I wonder when. It shall be in the latter days. Here they come now, getting ready for the battle called Armageddon.
here they go.
These beloved teenagers. You know, every summer at Spoon Lake, when I teach Bible talk, I have one course I teach. It is called Bible prophecy. No broad outlet for Bible prophecy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Main thing. Whenever I come to this, out of the Lord, riding on horses, invariably, after every class, he makes a story of those doctrines. Always. Ask questions. What do you come about? Oh, it's this big eye. Horses. I'm a good horses. I have a 30-minute answer to that. 30 seconds going forward. Yes, it is very surprising. But it would be 1,000 times more surprising if you could only hang. Where are you? There's a lot more to it. All I'm saying is that here they come down from the north. This is the preliminary invasion to the campaign known as the campaign of Armageddon. It's the preliminary one. If you want to read about the defeat of the kings of the north, turn to the next chapter, but not now.
What time?
What if they will meet tomorrow night? What is the tidings from out of the east? What east of Palestine? The Far East. That's where I was born. Far East. Okay, what do you say we read about that? Lose the place in Ezekiel. Don't lose the place in Daniel. Turn, please, to Revelation now, keeping your place in Daniel. Revelation chapter 16 is the only chapter where the word Armageddon occurs. Only once in the Bible does the word Armageddon occur. Two Hebrew words. How do you know? Look at verse 16, it'll tell you. Be able to read. Revelation 16:16 tells you point blank what language it is. Look up from your Bible for just a second. Would you like to know what that means in Hebrew? Har in Hebrew means the mountain. Zadar is a verbal form of slaughter. The mount of slaughter. Where the flames of the Ezraim are. Where the town of Megiddo is. Har Megiddo. Har Megiddo. Same thing. Now look at verse 12 of Revelation 16. Verse 12. Here they come. Here they come. Hiding from out of the east. 16:12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the sea of the east might be prepared. Let's look up from our Bible. Here they come. Far east. You know why this thrills me? Another reason. Because I lived in China for 16 years. I know the Chinese mentality. I can speak Chinese. I have lived among the Chinese. I know them. For the first time in millennium, China is awake. And disease race is on the march. I don't want to shock anybody. If our Lord's reign is coming, I for one feel that the greatest threat to this world is the Far East. Our Lord's reign is coming. Here you see them now, moving toward the first battle of the Lord God. Hiding from out of the east and out of the north, probably. Therefore, should he go forth in fury. The Euphrates River becomes what they call in California an arroyo seco. A dried up waterbed. I have fought Revelation 70, and I used to wonder how in the world the Euphrates came along this. It is. Ari, or Salasan, Brady. 5 years ago, I had a Bible conference in Panama. General Harrison, United States government, taught all our troops in South America, Central America, and Caribbean. Brilliant Bible teacher, man of God, three Jesus, the beloved brother, General Harrison. I was in his home. One day he said to me, have you ever wondered how the explosion got in on this field, Armageddon? I'm going to go to my office. I'm going to go to my office. I'm going to go to my office. I'll be with you in a minute. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Wait. Come on, I'll see your map. It's all map. Look at it. From the London to West Point, after the Madison. Oh, so that won't show you. Come over to the window. I'm going to fix the old, the earth. What? Take one of your fingers and put it on a good average place to pass it. Good. Heat up one of your fingers and slack it on the fingers of the head and power it up. Now you think with your extra hand, roll the short and soft thing like, and watch what happens. Like this. You pretty! My finger got wet. Yeah. I know you pretty. You don't find mistakes in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, these women will be grinding at the mill. He said this in the morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, two men will be working in the field, one a believer, the other the unbeliever. They said this during the day. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two people will be asleep in the course of that at night. Morning. And night. In the first century, people thought this earth was flat. It'll be morning somewhere. It'll be noon somewhere. It'll be night somewhere. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. You're freezing. Hiding from out of the east and hiding from out of the north will trouble him. Then shall he go forth in fury. Here we come now, from the north, the preliminary invasion, then from the east, now Antichrist moving out in power and authority, having broken his covenant with Israel, having desecrated the temple in Jerusalem, when he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then what? A convergence of military power right at Palestine, which has been the crossroads of culture and conquest and commerce down through the years. Converging there. I do not know the human reason. Maybe the human reason is oil. I haven't the faintest idea. But I know what the divine reason is. The divine reason is Almighty God in fulfillment of the prophecy of the second chapter of Daniel, the fighting stone, is gathering together the nations of the earth, which are ripe for judgment, because they turned their backs upon the Almighty for the dread battle of the day of God. Armageddon. Then shall he go forth in fury to destroy many. And now look at 1145. 1145. 40 to 12. Chapter 11, verse 45. Gotta keep the teenage attention somewhere. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious mountain. Now watch. Yet he shall come to his end. None shall help him. You may now lose your place in heaven. I want you to find two more places and the fruit of the week. Earnestly was a very difficult book to find in the New Testament. Second Thessalonians. Next to First Thessalonians is the hardest book in the New Testament to find. As a matter of fact, it is next to First Thessalonians. Take your time now. You'll forgive me for pride. This seems to come from teaching teenagers by the hands of power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Will you please listen to this sentence, and I can say it only once. I can say it only once, and we say it only once. In chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is writing about the smiting stone of Daniel. He doesn't use those words. He's talking about Christ's return in power and great glory. For Armageddon, that's in chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians, not 1 Thessalonians. Then when you turn to chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Christ return in power and great glory, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, except there come a falling away first. death now than possible. And that man of sin be redeemed in front of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Look at verse 8. Yet shall he come to his end, and none shall help him. How does he meet his end? Verse 8. And then shall that wicked, that Antichrist be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his house, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the smiting stone of Daniel 2. Now the last place we want to look, Revelation 19. A few more details, and that's it. Revelation 19, verse 11. Hallelujah, the chorus of the New Testament. Revelation 19, 11, Daniel 2, same thing. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Verse 15 of Revelation 19. Out of his mouth is the speaking of Christ, goeth a sharp sword, that wherewith he should smite the nation. Verse 16, and he hath on his breast and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! King of Kings and Lord of
Lords.
Forget handle the fire. You want to read about it? Verse 19. Revelation 19:19, and I saw the beast that had the Christ, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And would you like to know what happens to Antichrist? Look at the next verse. And the beast, that's Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him. Skip to the end of the verse, verse 20. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now the mopping up operation, verse 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. All the fowls were filled with their flesh. The next time you read the words of our Savior, will you try to remember Daniel 9 and 11? When he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. I have two or three or four paragraphs, that's all for the week. It is perfectly clear, both from the Old Testament and from the New, this frightful character known as Antichrist will yet appear. Antichrist means against Christ. The very fact that our Lord returns to receive us unto himself may be very near. And the very fact that Antichrist may be living as of now. These two facts constitute a challenge to every person in this room. To be pro-Christ, 100% out and out for the Son of God. Not just playing church. The time may be very short indeed. The prophecies of God will certainly be fulfilled. Christ with every fiber of my being, these hands dedicated to the Son of God, these lips dedicated to my Savior, these feet, I'll go where you want me to go, these eyes, I will behold only that which is pure, these ears, I will hear only that which glorifies my name, out and out for Christ. Everybody in this room took what I am now saying seriously. A revival would hit Oklahoma City. You want to be a man greatly beloved? In the word, you want to be a man greatly beloved? On your knees, you want to be a man greatly beloved? Purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself. You want to be a man greatly beloved? You be ready for Christ's coming and be on the alert with every ounce of being you possess to serve your Savior as long as you draw breath. Is the heart of the contemporary message to us.
all united in prayer.
Our gracious Father, we thank thee that thou hast kept us these days, morning and night, and thy word, that the Spirit of God has been with us. We thank thee that we have an unction from the Holy One. We need not that any man teach us. The Spirit of God is our teacher. We thank thee that we can encourage one another in the things of God. In a few moments, this meeting will be dismissed, and this conference will come to a close. Maybe some in this audience who have not been pro-Christ. Oh, how easy it is to be pro-self. My desires, my goals, my ambitions, my motives, my dreams, my purposes, instead of God's plans and God's purposes and God's will. Not the will of God that any one of us should carry. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life, whosoever believeth in him. This is an act of faith. My head, my heart, my will, truly trusting Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary, my sins might be washed away. Summons of the book of Daniel is that you and I be pro-Christ, in the Word, on our knees, pro-Christ. How many in this audience, right as of tonight, for the first time in your life, would really like to be pro-Christ, not just playing church, not just joining something, but out and out for the Son of God, living for Him, as the Spirit of God made you. This is your desire. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ before, seriously, earnestly, frankly, humbly, honestly, as of now you love to do it, you're glad to do it, I want to pray for you. I want to make one thing very clear. Please do not raise your hand unless you mean business with God, not to put your hand. But if the Spirit of God has touched any hearts here tonight, if you want to be out and out with Christ, amount to something from God, I'd love to pray for you. Anybody want to be prayed for on that basis? I'd ask you to raise your hand to me tonight. For the first time in my life, seriously and honestly, I'm trusting the Savior. I mean, if you'd like to step up your hand to that, anybody, step back to your hand and put your hand down. Yes, God bless you. First time in my life. Yes, you can put your hand out. Don't dare raise your hand unless you mean business. If you mean business with God, you want to be told Christ, you trust Him, live for Him, ignore Him. Anyone else you want to be prayed for on that basis? Put it just tonight and see your hand. God bless you. I'll pray for you now when I leave. Delighted, I see your hand, young lady. God bless you. Spirit of God is working, I'll wait. Otherwise, I was going to close it. I'm not just looking for hands. God has dealt with you, and you want to be out and out for Christ, first time in your life, really trusting Him, never mind who's your neighbor, you yourself before God. Anyone else, just slip it up and then take it down. I'll wait.